Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we are going to be talking about new data from the China Passenger Car Association for Tesla in July. This is really interesting because, of course, we did have the shutdown, and now we're seeing Tesla's production rates post-upgrade. Tesla has actually set a new production rate record with those July production numbers, so we're going to go through those, which I don't think have been published anywhere except for on ShareLoft today, so it's kind of exciting to share that. We're also going to talk a little bit about the CPI scheduled for tomorrow, and then we do have a couple other items as well. So first off, Tesla stock today, kind of following the markets down 2.5% to close at $850 per share on the dot. The NASDAQ today was down 1.2%, so pretty much what we'd expect from Tesla's beta on the day today. Not really anything driving it in particular. Of course, tomorrow, as we wait for the CPI report, all eyes are on that. It seemed like today maybe the market was dropping a little bit in anticipation of that. So let's just talk about what to expect. We talked a little bit about this yesterday. We were talking about the month-over-month comparisons. So let's just look at year-over-year. As we can see, inflation spiked back up for June at 9.1%, or the CPI number, rather. The consensus this time around is for an 8.7% increase. So that would be a decline from what we had seen in June as we look at the July number. Still obviously quite high. And then if we look at core inflation, so excluding energy and food, We have seen that continue to trend down, including in June. The consensus, though, is for that to kind of spike back up here for July. So consensus right now sits at 6.1%. But as I said, markets may be reacting a little bit early today. I don't know if this information maybe leaks out a little bit or what's going on, but expectations have seemed to rise throughout the day. Got some reporting from Bloomberg today that most recent expectations are suggesting a 9% print tomorrow. So higher than what we saw here from Trading Economics putting the consensus at 8.7%. So even though we have seen gas prices, energy prices fall in the month of July pretty significantly, it looks like the inflation expectations are still high. So this is going to play a role in terms of the market's expectation for how the Fed reacts next time they update interest rates in September. We will still get the August CPI report before that. So we'll still have another, you know, snapshot, obviously many other things considered besides just CPI, but we still will get another CPI snapshot before the Fed makes their next interest rate decision. Still, this one is critical because, again, expectations have been for inflation to start declining now that we've seen some of those other costs going down. We've heard Elon talk about commodities. We've talked about that too. So anything that is still a relatively hot number could be a little bit concerning. All right, let's talk about Tesla now. So we've got some new data here from the CPCA. I think this morning or overnight, the sales information came out. We do also have production data here. So for total production for the month of July, CPCA reporting that Tesla produced 38,719 vehicles. Of course, that is down very significantly from the record June production of just shy of 71,000 vehicles. But we did have significant downtime in the month of July as Tesla was down for the first 4 days for the total factory, and then thereafter down on the Model Y line and then down on the Model 3 line as well. So if we break this up, we've got 27,458 Model Y, 11,260 Model 3, which I really want to focus in on that Model Y number, because what we know about the downtime was that Tesla was down for Model Y production from the 1st through the 15th. So for these 27,500 vehicles, those were produced in the last 16 days, July 16th through July 31st. So, you know, that's about half the month. If you were to double that for a normal non-downtime month, you'd get production over 50,000. This is 1,700 vehicles per calendar day. That equates to just over 12,000 per week. Now I want to flip over here to our production tracking spreadsheet, just screenshot here to kind of simplify things. But if we look at this 27,458 figure over these 16 days, we're at 12,013 per week, like I just mentioned, and we can see how that compares to the Model Y weekly historical production rates that we've seen so far this year. So we pretty much were at 8,000 to 9,000 per week before Tesla really accelerated things in June. Some of that was probably at the expense of Model 3 production, so more like 9,000 is what we were seeing before this upgrade. And then now here in July, just immediately following this update, without even really giving Tesla time to fully ramp up after that, we're already seeing Tesla hit this record 12,000 per week on the Model Y. Now, of course, for the Model 3, Tesla did have downtime as well. For that, it was shut down, I believe, on the 17th or the 18th of July. So really just a handful of days there for the Model 3, 13 production days. which is why, of course, the Model Y or the Model 3 production only coming in at 11,000. However, it's been reported now that Tesla did complete their upgrade of the Model 3 on August 7th. So as we sit here today, August 9th, Tesla is now fully ramped up, ready to go with Giga Shanghai after these upgrades, and we should be seeing them hit daily production record rates from here. So very exciting. Again, this translates to more than 50,000 Model Ys per month, which we have never seen Tesla accomplish out of Giga Shanghai so far. And then once Model 3 gets ramped up, we should be seeing in excess of 30,000 there. So for August, we could see a number in the 80,000 range based on these production rates that we are seeing from Tesla right now. Again, the record from June was 71,000. So that includes that August number that I'm talking about. That would include, you know, that first week of downtime there for the Model 3. So I've been talking about Q3, very exciting. We're now getting into the stage of where we can be excited about it after these upgrades have happened. We should be seeing really strong results from here. As for sales, again, I really only care about production, but just on the sales information, those were reported to be 28,217 vehicles on a wholesale sales level. Remember, wholesale sales is the terminology that the CPCA uses for domestic sales in China. Those were 8,500, and then exported vehicles, which fell just shy of 20,000. So if we just want to check how that kind of looks versus some historical numbers, we can see big drop from June to be expected with the production number. But what's more important is that Tesla did build up significant inventory here. So production outpacing wholesale sales by 10,500 vehicles, which we can see that's actually a record for the largest inventory build that Tesla has had. Nothing to be concerned about with that, though. Obviously, with the production backloaded towards the end of the month, makes it more difficult for Tesla to logistically transport those vehicles and actually get them recognized as sales by how the CPCA accounts for things. So we'll just see those come back later in the month and hit the sales line, like we can see happens all the time. Like if you look at the first month of each quarter here, Tesla is always building inventory from Shanghai. So nothing new, just a little bit larger of a number as production ramps up and it's backloaded. And then every single time in the last month of the quarter, inventory declines. So again, we'll see that here in Q3. As we work through the quarter, probably some, you know, relatively similar production and sales numbers in August, and then probably a decline in inventory for September. September sales, I don't want to speak too early, but depending on what we see with that inventory number, September sales, wholesale sales for Shanghai could be 100,000. So that'd be pretty exciting. Obviously, it'd be a little bit dependent on the inventory, but it is possible that that could happen. All right, next up today, we've got some exciting news out of California. So we talked back in Q1 about how the Model 3 and the Model Y had become the two best-selling vehicles in California for the quarter. Not just electric vehicle, any vehicle. You can see here outpacing the RAV4 at about 16,000 vehicles, the Model 3 and the Model Y both coming in at about 22,000. So we've got an update on that now. We've got the second quarter data added. So if we look at the first half vehicle registrations here in California, we can see that the Model Y, I love how it is, it's classed in this luxury compact SUV category. 42,320 Model Ys registered in the first half of the year versus second place in that category at about 7,800. So Tesla, you know, six times second place roughly in that category. Model 3 then at about 39,000 vehicles, just completely demolishing the rest of its near luxury category as well. 61% share there for the Model 3, 54% share for the Model Y. So I think it just illustrates like how dominant Tesla is as a company to be, you know, so successful in those segments. But even not even considering segments, we can look and we can see that, you know, the second place vehicle, Toyota RAV4, 31,599. So both the Model 3, Model Y, significantly ahead of any other vehicle. And this is just units, right? Like we're not even talking about revenue here. So shows how strong the demand is, shows how successful Tesla is relative to, you know, vehicles both within its segment and outside. And this is, you know, because Tesla produces these vehicles in Fremont, Tesla is most likely to deliver them, to want to deliver them in California because of lower logistics costs, right? The closer they can deliver it to the factory, the quicker it is and the less cost that's going to be. So if we're, you know, thinking about what the market can be for Tesla, what they can achieve in a non-supply constrained environment, California, you know, it's one of the best proxies for that because of that incentive for Tesla. So ignore this at your own peril. I'm sure no one here is ignoring that, but, you know, very, very powerful data that we're seeing here. All right, last couple of things here. So just real quick, many of you may have seen this, you know, campaign from Dan O'Dowd. He's not his first campaign by any means, but they did some testing with a child mannequin, and FSD, you know, wasn't stopping for it. Whatever, you can set up whatever scenario you want with autonomous vehicles, I think, and kind of show whatever you want. But if you did happen to see this and you're not familiar with it, I got a couple of comments on this already. Dan O'Dowd is the founder and CEO of Green Hill Software. If we go to Green Hill Software website, like, you know, I shouldn't need to say, if you're not watching the video, I'll explain this, but I shouldn't need to say more. I mean, just look at this page. Is this not a conflict of interest with what Tesla is doing just from this graphic alone? It very clearly is. Green Hill Software doing a lot of things in the automotive space. You know, we can scroll further down and see all of the spaces that they're involved in. ADAS and autonomous driving. Dan O'Dowd says he's not a competitor, has no conflict of interest, but I think this page makes that extremely clear. Not that that completely invalidates things, but it is extremely clear that Dan O'Dowd has an agenda. So I just want to throw that out there in case anyone, you know, isn't aware of that. And I've seen some people that don't have that context. So just wanted to pass that along. But yeah, that is really it. So as always, thank you for listening. Oh, one more thing on the schedule. So I do have to, we're doing this a little bit early today because I've got another long drive, a lot of driving lately, but another long drive tonight, and then spending some time with family tomorrow. So no episode tomorrow, hope to be back on Thursday, and then probably off again on Friday. So if you didn't catch that scheduling update yesterday, that's how it's looking for the rest of this week. But as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and we'll see you tomorrow. Well, we'll see you on Thursday for the August 11th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.